So are we doing the intro right now?
Sure, go to town.
All right. Hey, thanks for coming out and hanging out with us today. This is your Uncle Brent. And sneezing in the background is our owner and founder and leader, fearless leader with sinus. Okay. Our fearful leader. Our fearless leader.
Get all that in there.
Raynell. Shut the hell up. I'm trying to do my intro, Mrs. Sinus. You're just one big nose today.
It's my throat more than anything. I feel like a tree shoved its polleny dick down my throat. I'm not into it.
You're not making that sound that's normally associated with that.
I will before this interview's over.
I think you need to put a G and a L into that.
Is T supposed to hurt?
Well, thanks for joining us today, guys. I appreciate it. Hope y'all had a chance to check out our most recent episodes. They were pretty good, including the Michael Sweet one. You know what? I'm so excited today the interview. Yes, because we are interviewing AJ Vallejo. And AJ Vallejo is one of my friends and my producer. I'm not sure if he'll admit to it or not, but he is.
I'm excited for this one. I'm sorry that I look like...
No one can see you. This is a podcast woman.
I know, but AJ's going to be able to see me. I'll just turn the camera off. I'll get it.
Nah, don't do that. You'll make him feel uncomfortable.
Isn't that the goal?
No, by asking him questions is how he'll make him feel uncomfortable. However, if we poke the bear, it will respond, especially this one. So, I have a joke I want to tell you. It's not a good one. I'm warning everyone up front.
Is it going to get me canceled?
No.
It's actually, then I don't give a fuck. Go ahead.
Pretty clean.
Is it a good dad joke?
It is a dad
joke. I love a good dad joke.
It is a dad joke. This joke centers around three couples. These couples are young individuals attending a church camp. And they've just become in a relationship in that week-long church camp. So they're all sitting at the table together. And the guy in the first couple goes, "Hey, baby, pass the sugar, sugar." She goes, she passes it over. Well, the second guy, to not be undone, looks at his girlfriend and goes, "Pass the honey, honey."
I knew you were in.
And
a
she goes, "Ew." And then third guy, to not be undone, but he can't think of anything. He's panicking. He's real nervous. And he goes, "Hey, pass the tea bag." It was bad, wasn't it? I told you it was. I look good because I don't have any hair on my head, son of a bitch.
Now you got a nice clean.
Yeah, it's all clean right here.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't grow back, man. All right. You ready for me to do the intro?
Ready.
All right. He is a songwriter, guitarist, vocalist, and producer in the Austin area. This man is founder of, or one of the founders of Vallejo, Brody Lane, and Love in Chaos. His beauty is only second to Ray Kane's and Kendall Beard. AJ Vallejo, welcome to the club.
Hello, AJ.
Hey, how you doing? Good to see you.
Good
how y'all doing?
Doing okay.
I just finished with the rehearsal and I just got done. I'm here in my studio now. After, it's just a crazy schedule I have. Like, after this, then I got to mix the Sunny Sosa track. And then after that, I got to go to Jessica Forsyth's single release at 10. So like my day is still not over yet. So, but I definitely wanted to get in here with you guys.
Oh, well, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
We're thankful that you're slumming.
I wish.
So I have one question just out of the gate. Is there such a thing as too much AJ? For example,
that's not my thing. Ask somebody else that.
No. The reason I'm asking is because whenever I think I've made this joke with you in the past, I was like, man, after I write the song, I don't want to and sing. There's too much Brent if we go beyond that. Do you ever feel that way? Because you can pretty much do everything on your album if you wanted to. When do you decide, okay, this is too much AJ. I need to bring in some new blood.
Probably just like you do when we're in the studio, like basically just you start hearing. It just seems a little too vain. I guess that's a good word. And then you know, bring in there's the cool thing about Austin is there's so many great artists. So like, it's easy to call Cole Grambling and get some great keyboards, or call Ray Canes and get some great guitar, or call Dan Johnson and get some great steel. It's like they're just a phone call away, and they all, for some reason, we all live within 10 minutes of each other, so they can be here within the hour. So whenever I feel like, okay, I've already got honest with myself, like, you know, man, this could be use a great keyboard part. Like, I'm not gonna try to play it. I'll just get somebody else to do it. This solo would be great. Like on the new record, on that song Wheels that I sent you, that's Rob Smith that he plays with. Man, he plays with everybody. He's a acclaimed guitar player. And in my mind, you know, Ray plays some great guitar on the record, and obviously I have some cool parts on the record. But I don't know, just in that part, that song, when I heard it, I was like, you know, I need to get Rob Smith on this, because I just feel like he could interpret the song and serve the song better than we could. You know?
So from clarification right here, you're saying, man, Ray Canes cannot do this. I need to get someone so much better. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not, because Ray Canes actually killed. There's this one song called Till the Right One Comes Along, and he, wait to hear that. It's I think he heard Rob Smith's part, and he was like, oh, really? Okay. So he showed up and killed on that song. Because I was like, man, that song is a great. That's what I'm saying. It really goes back to, you know, is there too much AJ? When I think there is, then I can count on these guys. And when the record comes out, you'll hear it. I'm real happy with it. And that is a part of just surrendering and going like, maybe there's a better person to play that part than me. That's the part of being a producer. Like, I wear a producer hat, and then I'm wearing the artist hat. Got to step back and get out of the bubble and kind of be like, be the producer and be like, let somebody else do it. You can't do it all.
That's cool.
So do you enjoy writing your own stuff or producing more?
Ooh,
which one do you like the most?
Yeah, I don't know. The second part of the question was coming. Let's see. Both, I think. I think they go hand in hand, because writing, what is writing? Writing is composing, you know, lyrics and music, and then producing is composing the lyrics and music to sound. So like, I think they all go hand in hand. So I don't know if I really have an answer to that.
He likes them both. He's very democratic right now.
Oh, I love them both. I love them both. I like writing.
If you could only do one, which one would you pick?
Okay, well, that's easy. Writing then, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Because writing, I mean, just, you know, creating is, there's such a high, there's nothing cooler than like when you come up with something cool that you think is cool. There's a cool high to that you created that. Like, and when you play it back, you're like, wow, that's pretty good. Like, you know, any musician, Brent, you know that. You know, it may be crap to somebody else, but to you, like, you're like, I like that. Like, if it moves you, then that's good a cool shit. Vibe. Yeah, that's, you're like, this is the greatest song ever. This is a hit. Brent, believe me, Brent comes in, man, I got the hit, dude. I got your hit.
Oh, whatever, dude.
I got your hit.
I'm going, okay, these are the songs. Which one sucks the least?
What's it like producing Brent?
It's
how
fun.
Annoying are you?
How
annoying
of,
is he?
We know,
and
I think
how much
we,
work
we,
is done?
We know each other, both we know each other, but it's kind of always fun. It's a fun way. We have the same dark humor, so like, we get it. Like, he says stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I get it. And we don't take offense to any of it, because like, we're really both just like, you know, making fun of ourselves. So that's all it is. But, it's fun. You know what's surprising? Somehow through all of that, we get cool stuff done. Like, we walk out great stuff, so. If we didn't come up with good stuff and then did all that bantering, then it would probably not be good.
It was funny because I think it was a few episodes back, Brent was talking about how you were like, are you really going to do bluegrass? Or are you just going to be a dick about it? Because you're going to need a banjo or a violin.
It was fiddle. Remember the fiddle guy you called in?
Oh, my God. I was like, that's hilarious. Are you really doing this? Are you half-assing this?
Yeah, it was River when you did the bluegrass song.
Yeah.
I like the argument. We got into a little discussion, and he was like, we'd already done like three-part harmony, and he was like, you know, there needs to be a higher part. And I was like, dude, I can't hit those notes. And so AJ goes in and does it first time, and he's like, God damn, you wrote a lot of words on this song.
A lot of words. I feel like I was like a sing rap. I was doing Hamilton.
So how are you doing? Are you doing okay lately? Really good?
Me?
Yes, you, sir. Yes, sir, you.
I'm hanging in there.
All right.
Cool. Sometimes it's a lot, and then, you know, as anybody knows, you live through, then life happens. I mean, on top of all the stuff I pile on top of myself in a workload, you know, there's personal life things that happen, and those things can bog things and bog your work, and so-and-so on the other side too, like, you know, your work also bogs those things that are happening because you can't pay attention to those like you probably should. So, you know, juggling all that is a lot, you know, but, and it gets to you at times, but really the bottom line, what I try to do is just, I'm always trying to catch up on sleep. And I don't feel like I'm ever going to catch up.
You can sleep when you're dead, man.
That's going to be like, that's it. I'm the poster child for that dude. So.
We're going to talk about Another Day. This is the first song I ever heard that you were not even a thought in my brain until I heard this song. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And I cranked it up. It's just a jamming song. It's cool.
It's so crazy because it was kind of like a fluke, that song. We never sat down and wrote it, write it. Our guitar tech, Adam Stockstill, he actually wrote the hook, and it was actually called, because he was a big pothead, and all he did, the song was actually called Smoke the Day Away, and instead of Just Another Day, and he would be like, Smoke the Day Away, and we were like, that's cool. So we started jamming it live at sound checks and kind of in our set, and the label had heard it, and they were like, that's the hit. And we were like, okay. So we changed the words and made it Just Another Day. And that was actually the first single. And I was actually, it was almost a joke. Cause when I did the vocals to that song, I was literally laying on the couch, like as a joke. And they were like, those are the vocals. I was doing it scratch. I didn't think that I was doing it for real. And they were like, dude, that vibe, you laying on the couch, so rapping it like that, that's the take. And I was like, okay. So the whole song turned out to be kind of not a joke, but like we didn't think it was going to be the single. So it was kind of going to be a fun, like experimental track at the end of the record. We didn't know it was going to be the single. So, but it's cool. You know, when they said that's a single, I was like, all right, cool.
Okay. So this is the song that pretty much broke y'all. Mm-hmm. I mean, cause if I'm hearing about you, you know, I have a kid at this point. I'm losing my goddamn mind. I'm in college. And so this penetrates all that to get to me.
Gets to Uncle Brent under a rock.
Before I was Uncle Brent. You can just call me Dick back then. So what was the major change when this song took off? Because it fucking took off.
It did. Took off. Everything changed. Yeah, dude. Money. I mean, it sounds real cliche, but the whole rock and roll ride, you know, one minute you're in a van playing little slummy blues bars, and the next minute you're opening up for Stone Temple Pilots in a tour bus, flying around the United States. Everything's free. Drugs, girls, sushi, lobster. The finest of everything, dude. It's like the Grammys, you know, all the award shows, all the, you know, you're hanging out with Chris Farley. Like, it's, your whole life changes, man. You're like, but you just got lucky, man. And then your whole life changes. And of course, all of a sudden, like, you're like trying to live month to month. And next thing you know, you're buying jet skis. I think we never had money, so we were just like, we were the poster children of like just taking a bunch, all of a sudden getting a bunch of money and blowing it all. I mean, in hindsight, I would have saved more, you know. I thought we were going to be, you know, number one forever.
So I had heard that song, and then you come out with your next album, which is Beautiful Life, I think.
Yeah,
I actually heard an interview with you and the guys, and y'all are on KLBJ,
mm-hmm.
and you were talking, and you had been run over, and mm-hmm. someone had run over your arm. And
my leg,
Was it your leg? They were like, are you worried? And you're like, no, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Everything's going to be okay. I'm set. I'm good. I'm set. I'm good. Yeah. And at the time I was like, I would be so pissed off if someone ran over my leg.
Yeah.
And we were just like really mellow. And then later on, I came to find out that you told me, yeah, when that happened, I was able to pivot that and get this and do that.
Yeah.
So you were really able to capitalize on something that really negative that happened to you.
Yeah. That was the first, you know, life changing thing for me. And then, you know, 15 years later, I had a heart attack, and that was, I'm just like, man, do I have like 9 lives? Or, I mean, I don't know. It's just been crazy. So now I'm just trying to stay out of trouble and stay out of crazy shit like that. You know, like, just raise my kids. That's all I want to do.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you want to introduce another day?
Yeah, man.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Hey, what's up? This is Just Another Day. Vallejo. Old school. 1997. Rock that.
'94.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
This yeah, is fun for me.
Well, I mean, that's like, think about 97. It's, you know, when that's, now we're in the year we're in now, and that's
when MTV still played music.
Yeah, they played
97.
They played just Another Day on MTV. It was, and that was another thing. How cool is it? You grew up watching MTV, and you know, you're hanging out at a party, and you know.
Hey, dude, if y'all had MTV, y'all had money, man. Come on.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, I didn't have MTV when I was a kid. We had.
I didn't have MTV. My grandma had MTV.
I didn't
have that shit.
You're right. For us, I mean, we finally got MTV, but when MTV first came out, we didn't have MTV either. We had this friend, Hank, There was a kid on the block that had MTV, so everybody went over there to watch.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you did it.
For us, it was Hank. He lived about two blocks over, and right after school, we'd run over to his house to go watch Beat It and whatever was coming on there. You know.
Hey, I remember when MTV Unplugged was their Nirvana MTV Unplugged, and I purposely spent the night at my grandma's because I knew I would sleep on the couch in the TV room.
Yeah.
And I watched all of Nirvana's MTV Unplugged on like volume four, sitting like right in front of that shit.
That must have been awesome.
Not gonna miss it.
That must have been awesome for young, you know, to be young and catch all that.
It was so cool.
I love that Unplugged series. The one that was always really strange to me. They're one of my favorite bands back in the '80s, but this band called Rat. They sang.
Yeah.
But they did Unplugged, which I was kind of like, that's kind of weird. Like, should they be doing Unplugged?
Did they really?
They're not an Unplugged kind of band.
No.
At all. But it worked out. It sounded, and they did Oh Well by Fleetwood Mac. They picked some really clever covers, and then Way Cool Junior was kind of funny like that. But anyway, yeah, I love Unplugged.
I think the long story or the short story of this is all three of us are old.
That's right.
Yeah,
we're talking about Rat.
So let's go to the next song. Wildflower by Love and Chaos. Can you give us just a little synopsis of what Love and Chaos is?
Okay. Just Love and Chaos started kind of, as a producer, I started producing Kendall Beard. She was a finalist on American Idol. And there's a year, I don't think they do it anymore with the whole social networking that happens now. But back in the day when on season 8, she was on that. For a year, when you signed that contract, if you were a finalist, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't, put out a video record because they kind of want you to kind of just, they don't want you riding on their coattails. So anyway, she had a year where she couldn't really do anything. So she came to us and she was like, I want to do my record my record while I'm in this like silent period. And the day her American Idol contract expired, we released her album. And then I started playing guitar. I produced both of her records and then I started playing guitar with her, and then, I don't know, so we just started doing some gigs, and people were like, man, y'all got some great chemistry. We started singing songs together, and then, things just started taking off. We released a couple songs on the radio. They did really well, and then Wildflower is actually number one now, so that's, it just started taking off. We opened up for, a bunch of cool gigs, and just phones started ringing for Love and Chaos, and they're like, did they not call for Kendall Beard or AJ? No, they're calling for Love and Chaos. Oh, wow. Okay. So, and then, then we put some records out and now it's kind of a serious thing. So, it's also just hard to be, it's not an easy band to be in.
because normally you're the good looking one. And in this one, you're butt ugly, dude.
That's
you're
what it is.
The ugliest person in that band.
other than maybe like Silas, but I mean, Silas is a good looking kid. But
There are other people in the band?
Yeah. We have a bass player and a drummer, yeah.
I know there are people.
But yeah, man, it's cool, man. I'm happy with what we've accomplished over the years, It's a cool thing to be a part of. I'm real proud of it. Like I said, and then this year we won at the Texas Awards. We won Best New Group and Duo, and then we also, like I said, got our first number one. So I'd say it's a good year for the band, so we're happy about that.
Wildflower is a little bit different than some of your past songs. Can you explain the songwriting process related to Wildflower, how it was different than your other songs?
I mean, that's obviously it's different because we co-wrote it with Willie Braun from Reckless Kelly. So, and he's just a good friend of ours. And we just said, man, it's funny because I called him. I go, hey, man, can you turn us on to some people that we could co-write with, writers that you admire? And he was like, I'm cool. I want to co-write with y'all. And that's how he talks. He goes, why can't I co-write? I want to co-write with y'all. I was like, oh, we'd love that. So Willie's songwriting, Reckless Kelly's a cool southern roots rock band, but like a lot of Willie's writing, they all live up in that mountain in Idaho with their dad, Muzzy Braun, and just four brothers. So a lot of they come from kind of that folky mountain music kind of background. So he was like, I think he was kind of moonlighting through Love and Chaos. He was like, cause he'd be like, hey man, let's try this song with you guys. And it's 3-part harmonies. It's killer, man. We love it. And we shot the video up in Idaho with him and beautiful mountains behind us. And it was cool, man. We didn't know. We thought it was different. We thought it was different. We were like, maybe we were kind of curious how it was going to be received. And then and just kept climbing up the charts. And next thing you know, we got number one. So I'm like way stoked about that.
That's your first number one, correct?
Yep. Yeah. Cause we got to number 30. We did get in number 30 just another day, and that was Billboard. So, that was cool to have that, but yeah, never had a number one. So that it's cool to have that. What record was it? A stereo album. We had this song called So Damn Beautiful. And that was a number one in New Zealand, but not recorded by us. The New Zealand Idol kid that won, you know, every continent has an American Idol. So New Zealand Idol kid won, and the guy that we co-wrote that song with had sold it without our knowing, like, to this New Zealand Idol kid, and he released it as his single, and it was number one. But and I don't know if you've seen New Zealand, how big it is, but it's like the size of Mississippi. So, like, having a number one hit in New Zealand, the royalty check, we got, like, some chicken and some toilet paper. That's about it. It'd be like having a number one hit in Biloxi, Mississippi. I say that lovingly because New Zealand's a beautiful place.
You're my wildflower, gentle as a drop of rain, tough as nails, pretty as hell, you're an outlaw just the same. You're a high flyer, an angel from above. You're my wildflower, you're the one I love. You're the one I love. I remember that morning like it was only yesterday. I saw you, my worries washed away. Everything I always wanted, brave and unafraid, perfectly imperfect in every way. You're my wildflower, gentle as a drop of rain, tough as nails, pretty as hell, you're an outlaw just the same.
Let's talk about Let's Roll. This is by your band Brody Lane. This is a duet with Kelly Green of Madam Radar. And then she used to be the lead of the KGB band.
Kelly Green band.
Texas KGB.
Yeah, Texas KGB.
So question, tell us about, how many groups are you in?
Just three.
Just the three?
Yeah.
You feel like that's enough?
Oh, yeah. I've used to be in like five or six. Yeah. Well, like, before the pandemic.
How do you balance that?
I just have a bad attention deficit, like, you know, so I got to keep myself, you know, occupied.
That's fair. How many boom boxes do you have in your house? Because I have several.
Yeah, really? I have, before the pandemic, I was in six bands, and they were, you know, they weren't all full time. You know, I had this Prince tribute, and then I had like this Whiskey band. I was, you know, it was kind of like, I wanted to play in a heavy rock band, so I had a heavy rock band, and I had this 80s hair band with my brothers called Bang, and, you know, so like, and I had Southtown, which was kind of like a funk band with my friends. It's almost like I was like, okay, I want to do funk, and then I want to play with my friend. I've always just wanted to play with certain people. Like, I want to start a band with Les Fisher, so I made Southtown. I want to start a band with so-and-so, so I made this. Believe me, if I could start a band with Kelly Green, I could. But, like, right now, both of our bands are doing pretty good, so we couldn't. You know, that's why we did Let's Roll, so we could just kind of moonlight and do something together, because we definitely wanted to work together.
So my question is, who's a better guitarist, Kelly Green or Ray Kaines?
God, why are you trying to stir up shit? Oh, it's amazing to watch. I love it.
Why don't you answer that, Brent?
Of course, Kelly Green's better than Ray Kaines.
Oh, that's so wrong. That's your friend.
That's why I can say that.
Oh.
Plus, Ray Kaines is never going to listen to this unless I talk shit every second of the podcast.
I told Ray Kaines I was doing your podcast before rehearsal, and he's like, oh, tell that dude to fuck that guy. But you guys, y'all have a history, right? Y'all go way back.
Yeah. He left my band to be in your band, fucker.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding.
He said, really?
Like, really? That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Ray was in my band before COVID, and then COVID kind of blew everything to shit. The only good thing that came out of COVID was Brody Lane.
That's right. But so after the pandemic, actually my doctor was like, and I was fine, but when I go to this annual checkup, my heart doctor, and he was like, I'm like, why is this guy so interested in like what I do? He's like, tell me everything. I want everything. Who are you playing with? Who are you hanging with? So I tell him, of course, and he's like, you know, man, like, doing all that's not conducive to, like, you know, your heart. So he's like, why don't you just, like, do, like, two or three things? Why you got to do so much stuff? And I was like, first I was like, what the fuck's he talking about? He's, you know, like, but then when I got home, I was like, that's not a bad idea. Then I thought about it, but of course I didn't change anything. So the pandemic came, and all of a sudden I'm at home with no bands. So then it was a perfect launching pad to go, you know what, when the world opens up, let me, you know, obviously Love and Chaos is already, has legs of its own, and Brody Lane was something that I did just that I was building here to go keep them going stir crazy. And then, of course, my band Vallejo is just, you know, we'll be around for as long as we're around, so that's kind of all I do now. And I also play with Brent, make records with Brent.
Yeah. You produce Brent.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
so those are your bands, but that doesn't include the handful of people that you produce.
It's not a handful. It's not a handful. He's also the president of his own record label. The owner, the president, Hair Club for Men, he does it all.
Jesus.
I also produced the Texas Music Awards, but that's we just got done doing that. We got Billy Gibbons to come and pick up the Lifetime Legend Award, so that was a highlight for me. She'll be able to bring that guy in and meet him and hang out with him. It was fun.
Hey.
Like I said, I try to catch up on sleep. If I get sleep, I can go.
You know, one of the things I really like about you, other than the fact that you make me sound like a rock god, is the fact that, you know, when you and me are recording, technically we're actually doing about 500 different things because. Yeah. I'm asking you questions about the music business. You're telling me about people you've sniffed cocaine off of. You know, there's just a bunch of different things we're talking about. So it's literally like buckshot when we work together. I don't.
Yeah. But I think it's nice because I think some of that seeps into the music. So, and that gives it, because it has to have like some of the, you have to have some of that rock and roll stank. The attitude has, where are you going to get that attitude? Rock and roll.
He said you have to throw some stank on it.
You can put some stank on it, dude. The one thing I've learned is that I can say about being a producer is you're trying to recreate something that is so easy to make on stage with the chemistry of a band, and there's some alcohol and everybody's feeling good and the music's loud. There's a PA, so it sounds, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors that make rock and roll fun and dangerous. But then you try to have to, you kind of come in this sterile room and recreate that energy. And that's really hard to do. That's where producing comes in, trying to make a band sound like, you know, they do when you hear them live. So, and if you don't bridge those two gaps, you most likely, it's hard to get the fans to connect. So that's really what I try to do. I try to make Brent sound like he's playing like at Frank Irwin Center, which is now Moody, but you know, we try to make it sound like we imagine it like it's a big rock thing. So.
I've been caught feeling like a fish out of the water. Baby, Lord, I swear, ain't nothing in this world that's harder. Something about you makes me lose my cool. Make me start acting like a silly fool. I've always been smooth, but for some reason I just can't with you. The way you move, the way you do, makes me weak for you. I love the way you look me in the eyes, make me feel the truth. Let me run around in your neighborhood. Don't leave me hanging outside in the woods. Baby, give me one more chance, I'll show you that I got the goods.
AJ, I wanted to ask you, a quick question. And if you don't want this in the podcast, just say, hey, I don't want this in the podcast.
Okay.
The thing I worry about you most of all is, and I'm not judging you at all. Okay.
Yeah.
Just a guy talking, because I don't understand how you do what you do in any level. I don't understand your life. The only part of your life I understand is your childhood when you're a teenager and you're just trying to get laid and play guitar. I understand those. But after that, I don't understand your life. I just can't conceive it because my life has been nothing like that. So the thing about you I worry about is, do you get to spend the time you want with your kids? Cause you have a, you have a beautiful family. And so I was like, how do you get enough time with them? You know,
I do. That's why I have a, that's why I have a studio in my house.
Yeah.
Cause if I didn't, like my brother Omar, who, you know, his kid's already gone to college and everything, but I mean, at 512, it's a great, phenomenal studio. And he's just in there all the time. And like, if, you know, if that was me, I mean, it's just down the road, but like, the cool thing is, like, after you leave, like, I walk right – my kids are on the other side of this wall, so that makes
That's true.
Yeah, so to answer the other side of your question, like, yeah, I mean, I'm on the road a lot. I'm gone a lot. I'm, you know, like, I'm gone. I see them maybe a total of an hour, 30 minutes to an hour, maybe 2 hour tops a day. That's not a lot. I mean, so – but I do see them every day. But – yeah, the weekends I don't get to, we don't get a lot to hang out on the weekends because daddy's always gone. So, but they accept it, man. They're you know, pop, they're gonna know Papa's Rolling Stone. So that's actually in the song Wheels.
That is after Wheels. Yeah. Talking of, so let's go ahead and talk about Wheels then.
Just Wheels is kind of very honest, off, you know, off the sleeve, basically just about what my life is right now. Just the wheels keep rolling. Like I've seen, had a record deal on Sony, had a, you know, in a tour bus, doing the whole rock and roll thing. I started in the van, bus. I've been back in the van and back on a bus. And, you know, we're back in a van now. And the goal is to actually be back on a bus very soon. So, like, it's just basically the wheels, whether it's a van or a car, the wheels keep rolling. And the minute they stop rolling, I mean, it's kind of a basic metaphor. Just the minute the wheels stop rolling, then you just, the dream is gone. They're done.
Or, you know, so, or you're dead.
Yeah. Well, maybe so. Maybe, you know, maybe like Highway to Hell, do they got the car to going to heaven or hell or whatever. But, no, man, it's just kind of a metaphor for just like the wheels. They got to keep rolling. And, you know, if they keep rolling, then you got a shot. So,
The wheels is the one where Ray Caines could not deliver, right? I have to.
I'm telling you, I'm going to send Ray this thing and be like, this basically is, Brent's like, this is basically half of it is, talking about me, and the other half is Brent is obsessed with Ray, the downfall of Ray Caines.
Yeah, like, what is that?
Man, I can tell you, just from being in a band with him and watching him in his other bands, dude, you up the level. I mean, and you're an excellent musician, and you play with excellent musicians, but when you pulled him into your band, I was like, fucking AJ just went up two levels.
We did, and I feel we did. We have, and he serves a song, and like he, you know, he's a hot shot guitar player, but he knows when to strike and all that, and just his textures is. I mean, he's just a good. And then he's got this YouTube. That's what I'm saying. He's got this YouTube channel now. He might blow up. I mean, he might call me and be like, "Hey man, I'm freaking making bank over here at this YouTube thing. I'm gonna have to stay home. I can't go on the road with y'all because I'm got to make content."
That's funny.
But yeah, man, it's been great. It's been awesome, man. Like, it's been awesome having him.
Walking on that small town stage, Lord. gonna tell everyone Papa was a rolling stone. Bringing money home, playing his fingers to the bone. Giving it things just to keep on living this life. Gonna give it one more shot. Promised my mama before she went that I gave it all I got. And the wheels keep rolling on and on and on and on and on. The wheels keep rolling on and on and on and on and on. Let them wheels keep rolling on.
What things do you have coming up?
Got a new record coming out, June, first week of June. I don't know what to call it yet. It has two tentative titles, but y'all will know when it comes out. Yeah, the record comes out, and we're ready to go, and we start promoting it. And
which band is that?
This is Brody Lane.
Okay.
And I want to say we've been working on Love and Chaos. The record's almost done, but, I don't think it's taken forever because Kendall's never around, but... when we finish it, we will finish it. We will finish it. Yeah, I said it. That record will come out when it's done, and then, just ready to tour. Brody Lane is slam book for the rest of the summer and going into fall, so we're going to be on the road hitting it really hard. So that's what I'll be doing mostly this year, the rest of the year, Brody Lane. So. And then, of course, I'm working on my label collective. It's kind of a label collect thing, and that's really cool. That's very interesting and exciting all at the same time. Like, Jessica is one of our artists, and then so is Willie Alvarado, who's like a singer, a boleto singer, mariachi guy. So we got a couple cool, interesting things.
So what advice would you give a young musician or wannabe producer?
I think I tried to give advice, and everybody has a different...
No, that's why we asked the question. We've heard it all from don't drop out of school to do more drugs to find another career to do less drugs. We've heard it all.
I think right now, in my present time, what I would say now is if you're going to do anything, producing, playing, just do it a lot. Do it a lot and do it good. If you're just doing it to, have fun, like a hobby, then maybe just do something else. But, if you want to be good or make a statement... you got to be good at it. Be good, be the best, work hard, play a lot, produce a lot, work a lot. That's why I do this so much. I just want to be better. I want to be the best there is, best producer, the best band leader, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm not yet, but do it a lot and do it be serious about it. And if you're not, and then just, go do open mics or something. I don't know. It's a hobby. It's a hobby.
Just go fuck yourself as well.
There's nothing wrong with a hobby. But, yeah.
You're right. There's nothing right. I'm not saying that in a bad way. If it's a hobby and you want to play guitar with your friends and go play, your friend's party in the backyard, awesome. Maybe that's all you want to do. I'm saying as far as what I do, I don't mess with anybody that, if you're an amateur or something, I don't have time because I'm not trying to be a stuck-up dick. I'm just I just work with people on...
You sort of sound like a stuck-up dick, but that's okay. We'll forgive you.
Okay.
Brent thinks it's funny.
Yeah, I'm just saying. That's where I'm at. I just don't have any tolerance for people that are gonna slow me down. So that's the stuck-up dick part. But whatever.
Do you, man?
I'll be honest. I'm always waiting on AJ. I'll be honest. I'm having to drag him across the line all the time. Constantly. Damn it, AJ. What the hell's going on with those harmonies?
Right.
Right.
He's come a long way because he was had no idea, harmony. He goes, man, I can't do that. I'm like, just go in there. You can do it, dude. You can do it.
I want to thank you for coming on here. I'd also like to thank you for helping me with my music, because, you know, you're the only one that has helped me with my music. No, I just appreciate it from our first call and then to what we're doing now. Hey, thanks for hanging in here and listening to the interview with AJ Vallejo. I hope you had a good time. Remember, you need to go to our website. You can find us on all of our socials.
So we have openings coming up May. If you're interested in being on the show, please hit me up at soundpollutionpodcast@gmail.com. All one word. I do check it twice a day. So like, do that. Like, follow, subscribe, download, and share. And I had something else and it left me.
All right. Y'all guys have a good evening. Remember to
make